Thanks for listening to this Light to Nations podcast. We hope that you are encouraged and challenged by this word. For more information about Light to Nations Church, please visit lighttonations.com.
We're talking tonight on part of the thing that I even prayed about a minute ago, being filled with the fullness of God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, and Paul here is saying to the church in Ephesus, he said, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. So this was a prayer from Paul to the church. Now we might look at that, it might not mean very much to us, just 16. We need up there. But I want this prayer that Paul prayed to the Ephesian church to be a prayer that I pray for you and something that you grab hold of a revelation tonight that you maybe haven't seen before. Something new would come to you. See, no one can see the glory of Christ or how glorious he is without knowing him in a personal way. You can't see the glory of Christ without knowing him. If we talk to people on the street that don't know Christ, they don't see him as a glorious person. They don't see the glory that he has. They don't know him personally. I was thinking even this afternoon, you know, when you have glory, normally you win something. So at the moment, the AFL are battling out to see who's going to win at the end of the year. People battle out in the soccer. People battle out in sporting events. You know, when the Olympics come and somebody stands up and gets a gold medal, other people share with their glory. Here's a gold medal. If they're an Australian, we share with their glory. Yes, we have won. Were you there? No, I wasn't there. Did you practice swimming? No, I didn't practice swimming. Did you get in the pool? No, I didn't get in the pool. How come you're being sharing with the glory? You see, when someone wins the AFL, is there 22 people that are out there celebrating together? No. There's the coaches, the runners, the water people, the doctors. They're all sharing in the glory. And Jesus said we can share in his glory. We're with him. We're on his side. He's on our side. But see, when someone has glory, it normally means that they've won something and Jesus won something. But if I look and see the glory of Christ, I can imagine him standing in heaven with a crown upon his head because he is the King. He is the King of Kings. And I look at him, and to share in his glory, I see him in his glorious place as a ruler. I see him as strong. I see him as confident. I see him with no lack. I see him, he has no fear. I see him that he's honored. I see him that he's praised and exalted. And he says, it's the glory of Christ we can be a part of. We can have those things in our life as we grab hold of the glory of Christ. Who wants that? I want that. If we have this in our heart, what Paul is praying for here, he will grant you according to the riches of his glory. To be strengthened through with power through the Spirit in the inner man. If we have this in our heart, we'll have the riches of his glory. Through his Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit alone, we are strong. Through the Holy Spirit, we are strong. It says he will strengthen us with the power, what? Through his Spirit. We'll be strengthened through the Spirit of God with his power, where? Is it our body? Is it my big muscles that will strengthen me? Is it my skill and my ability and my talent that will strengthen me? What strengthens me is not what I have on the outside, it's what I have on the inside. Because you can see people and they look strong on the outside. Some men will say they look very strong and they think they're crybabies because they get very emotional. So what they're saying is they look strong on the outside, but it seems as a man they cry and they're weak. But real strength comes from the Holy Spirit, which is on the inside. I want you to grab hold of this tonight, where I want to see that you come to all the fullness of Christ that can dwell within you and you can have strength within your inner man. In verse 17, it says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Is Jesus living in your heart? Knock, knock, knock. Are you there, Jesus? You want to come out sometime? Is Jesus living in my heart? It's talking about not him having a little area and he's very, very squashed. It's talking about him being in my spirit. It's talking about his spirit is within us. When his spirit's in us, it tells us we'll be strong, we'll be strengthened when his spirit is in us. When his spirit's in us, the spirit will talk to us, will challenge us. He will love us. He will speak to us because we feel things from our heart. It's not always that there's a voice saying things to us. Wayne, you've got a bit of a bad attitude. I want you to change it. It's not actually a voice I hear with my ears, but it's a voice I hear in my spirit. And I want to become strengthened in my spirit to be able to hear his voice. See, the Christian life really is so much revolved around faith. If we're going to move mountains, we need faith. To be born again, to think that we're being cleansed in our spirit, to think that our sins are forgiven, we need faith. If we trust that there's a heaven that we're going to, we need faith. If we pray and expect things to be changed, we need faith. If we're trusting that this book is real, we need faith. If we trust that God is our Father, we need faith. Our whole world, our Christian world, revolves around faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. So we also not only need faith, but we need love within our life. If Christ is dwelling in my heart, then the love that he has will be the love that I have. Because he's dwelling within me. He's strengthening my inner man. And I love like he loves. How I still long to be able to do that. I think so often I don't really love like Christ loves. I have a habit at times of judging people. I have a habit at times of even criticizing people. And I don't know that his love is so much in my life that I have everything together. But I know I want to keep pushing forward to getting the fullness of God in my life. And if God is full of my life, then I am full of love because he is full of love. Because everything we do when Christ is in and full in our life, we'll do because we love. Because God will put a love in our life for other people. God is love. If God is love and he's in me, then I am love. The book that I'm reading, called Kisses from Katie, she wrote some words in a diary, and this is in the book, and said, something I never noticed before stood out. The Bible tells us of Jesus magnificently raising Lazarus from the dead, healing numerous deadly ill people, and feeding thousands. What the Bible does not mention, but what must be true, is that years later, Lazarus still died. The people Jesus healed inevitably became sick again, and the ones fed were hungry again. More important than the very obvious power and might shown by Jesus. Let me read that again. More important by the very obvious might and power shown by Jesus' miracles is his love. He loved these people enough to make it better. He entered into their suffering and loved them right there. We aren't actually called to save the world, not even to save one person. Jesus does that. We are all called to enter into our neighbor's sufferings and love them right there. You know, this book has impacted my life, seeing this young girl go to Uganda and give a life. And just love. Because she wrote this in a diary just after there was this four-month-old baby who was brought to her to get help. This baby was malnourished. She had was born with a hole in her heart that could have been fixed very easily. She took her to one hospital in her little town because she was close to dying. And then because they couldn't do much for her, took her to Kampala, the capital, to get better treatment. But this four-month-old baby ended up dying. But Katie did this because she had the love of God in her heart for someone that was suffering. And this incident changed other people's lives. And the baby's name was Happy. And Katie knew that she went on to be happy in the kingdom of God. But this young woman who went to Uganda has seen so many lives transformed because the love of Christ dwelt in her heart. She picked up the orphans and brought them into a home. She lives in an environment where electricity is not always on, where the food is quite bland. The needs around her are absolutely overwhelming. When there's times of loneliness, because her family's not there, because she's a long way away from the family and the modern-day comforts of America. But the community in that little town that she's in would not be the same unless this one girl went there and transformed lives, one life at a time. She had the love and has the love of Christ within her life. She had the fullness of Christ in her life to love others. Is she perfect? No, she's not perfect. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. We come and read this to try and understand how big the love of God is. Can we comprehend with everybody else, with all the other saints, how high, how wide, how deep, how long is the love of God? I just think sometimes we don't know what that is. But God would put that in our hearts so people would say, your love is so big, your love is so wide, your love is so high. What is it about you? Well, I have the love of God in my life. God, help me to love like you love. Help me to feel like you feel. How do I do that? By getting the fullness of God into my life. I want that love to be in me. I want that love to be in our church. You know, that love, it overlooks mistakes. It forgives quickly. It doesn't hold grudges. If you look in 1 Corinthians 13, what real love is. It's patient, it's kind. Speaks the truth with humility. Speaks the truth with love to help them, not condemn them. Not to judge them, but speak the truth in love to say, there's an issue here. I want to help you through that because I love you. I care for you. And why did God love us so much? Even in verse 9, it goes on to say, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up in all the fullness of God. This is the nature of God. This is why God sent his Son to this earth, because he loved. What are we willing to sacrifice for others because we love? What are we willing to sacrifice for our King because we love? But he sacrificed everything when he gave Jesus. And that's his nature. And that when Jesus came to the earth and he walked around the earth, the same nature that God had was in Jesus. He loved like the Father loved. He was firm, but he was fair. He loved immensely. And I don't think people would understand how much Jesus loved. He walked and looked as he's walking to Jerusalem. And the tears are coming down his eyes. And he said, how I longed and wished I could gather the Israelites, the Jewish people around and protect them. But they didn't want me. They rejected me. Because he had a love for them. Even though they hated him, he still had a love for them. When Paul was persecuting the Christians, he was really persecuting Christ. Then Jesus came to him in a vision. Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? He still loved Paul and transformed his life. So the reason I run Light to Nations Church is not to give me something to do on a Sunday night and sometimes during the week. It's not just to give me something to do, Jan, really. It's not so I'll become rich. Because I can guarantee, by running Light to Nations Church, I don't get rich, except in my spirit and my love for other people. If this is all I was doing, I'd go broke. St. Vincent de Paul for lunch. I didn't do it because I'm bored. I find it very difficult to understand why people get bored. I don't have time to get bored, no matter what I'm doing. I didn't do it so I can tell people what to do. That I needed to come around and have some people that I can tell them what to do. So I decided to start a church. The reason I started Light to Nations Church is because I love God. And my desire in my heart is to please him with everything. And the reason I started Light to Nations Church is because God's put a love in me for people. And I love those that are here. And I love those that are out there. And I love those in my city. And I love those in the other nations that we visit. God has put a love in my spirit that's not my own love, but the love that comes from him, from transforming me from the inside out, from strengthening my inner man. I go to people and I love them. And I believe that's in all of us. We can't help but do that. So tells us there to be filled up with all the fullness of God. If I'm filled up with all the fullness of God, then I have to love people. If I'm filled up to all the fullness of God, I have to love people. Because the fullness of God is in me, and if I'm full of God, I'm full of love. Maybe I need a little bit more fullness of God so I can love a little bit more. If we're filled with the fullness of God, then God will take us to the right environment, because we create the environment we're in if we're filled with the fullness of God. And if you're in the right environment, the place where God has put us, we won't struggle. Well, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be nice not to struggle? And again, it comes where faith is. I'm full of the fullness of God. I'm not saying that you don't have challenges, but you don't have to struggle. You don't have to stress. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. Because you're full of the love of God, and you know that He's your Father, that He loves you, He will look after you. See, the right environment for a fish is water. And when the fish is in the water, he doesn't struggle. It just swims along his merry way. And when we're in the right environment, the things of God, we won't struggle. The right environment is not the location, but it's having power in our inner man through the Spirit. I become confident because His love is in me. But the world has a different spirit. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, this is before we become a Christian, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That's what it used to be like. When the spirit of the world hits our spirit, we think like the world. And the biggest thing the world thinks about is having their needs met or having their wants met. Everything is about getting more. Everything is about me. Everything about what I can get from my life. Everything is about my security for the future. The world has a different spirit. And when the spirit of the world comes, and even if you're a Christian, the spirit of the world starts hitting your spirit, you'll have a need mentality. All we'll be thinking about all our life, all we'll be praying about, every time we come to God to pray, we'll be asking him for things. Instead of saying, God, make me like you. Let me have a spirit of love. Let your love just fill me, that I can fill other people with your love through me. See, before Adam and Eve sinned, how many worries did they have in the world? None. How much worry did they have? None. Was there any jealousy? No. Was there any lust? No. Was there any cheating? No. There wasn't even any selfishness, because they were just living a life before God in freedom, working the ground, naming the animals, having fun, eating off all the magnificent fruit trees, except when they ate off the one they weren't supposed to eat off of. And something changed. Because before they sinned, God's love and His provision was evident. They had want for nothing. Do you know what? We can come back to that same place. When we're full of God. Where we can decide we're not going to worry. Because we know that God now has brought back the blessing that Adam and Eve lost for our lives. There were no needs, because God supplied everything. And God promises now He will supply everything, but we have to get that into our head. And it's talking about faith, and it's talking about love. When we're caught up in the world system, our whole life will revolve around meeting our needs. Why do we go to work? To meet our needs. We don't come to church because we're working to meet our needs. We don't come to church because we need a rest. Not you, because you're here. It's the ones that are not here I'm talking about. We don't give into the kingdom because we have other needs. We become afraid to let go of our kids because they need you to tell them what to do. The world just revolves around needs. What God gives us is not just to meet our needs. He gives us to be filled with the fullness of Him in our inner man. To be filled with the fullness of God. We can use what God gives us to love and to help other people. See, God gives us things so we can use it to help others. Many times in our Christian walk, we think that everything God gives us is to help ourselves. But if we got God's love in our heart, it's always about other people. If we've got the spirit of the world in our heart, it's always about how to meet my needs. It's always about me. Everything's about me when that's the spirit of the world. Everything's about me and the ones I care for and the ones that I love. It's about me. But when we have Christ in our life, with the fullness of God, our thinking will start changing and saying, God, you've given me things to help others. Not talking just about money, but I'm talking that when we give things to others, we're talking about time, we're talking about talents, we're talking about skills, talking about our wisdom, we're talking about influence, we're talking about mentoring. We give what we have to others because we love others. I love it when some of these people go to other nations, doctors, they go to another nation and give 1 month of their year to work freely in some of these nations that are poor. I love seeing things like that. People give their skills. People go over to the other side of the world and help the poor to build things. And I love it when we've spent money to help orphanages, when we've had wells built. Because we love. And you know, I feel the best way to overcome our own problems is to start helping somebody else. Because it's more blessed to give than receive. And if we're always asking to receive, we lose out on blessings. Because if I want to be blessed, I have to learn how to give. See, a human response will always keep us human. But a divine response, or the response of nature, of God's nature, a divine response keeps us divine. See, we need to think higher than just our needs. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, I want you to come to this place tonight where, as I'm even speaking here, I want you to desire even more to be filled with the fullness of God. So at the end of the message, I'm just going to put a song on. And I want us to call out to God and say, God, fill me with your fullness like I've never been filled before. Give me greater love in my heart than I've ever had before. Let me be full of you. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. So here's Adam and Eve, and after they disobeyed God and ate from the fruit, it said they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Ever tried to hide from God? I'm not talking to God for a while because I'm not happy with him. Or I'm going to not talk to God for a little while because I don't think he's happy with me. So I'm going to try and hide. How can you hide from God? Adam and Eve are behind a tree, as if God didn't know they were there. Verse 9, then the Lord called to the man and said to him, where are you? You think God didn't know where they were? He's given Adam a chance to confess. God knew exactly where they were. But we have this response. The human response so often is when we fail, we run from God. Whereas God's love keeps pouring into our life, and even though we fail or make a mistake of some description, when we fail, we say, God's love is so much, I'm going to run to him. I need his help. I haven't done the right thing. I need my Father's help, so I'm going to run to him because he still loves me. Sometimes that's hard to do. You just want to avoid God. Pretend he's not there for a day or two. Because, you know, every response we do determines our future. When I respond today, it's determining my future. So if I decide today that I'm still going to respond the same way I did yesterday, my future is determined by that. But if I decide today that if I fail God, I'm going to actually run to him and not away from him, I'm determining my future. I've made a choice before something's happened. Divine response, when we get a response that is a God-like response, it activates a divine life in us. Hezekiah's response gave him an extra 15 years. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 to 6, Second Kings 20, 1 to 6. In those days Hezekiah became mortally ill, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you will die and not live. Well, that's just the words that you want to hear from God. Set your house in order because you're going home. Hezekiah wasn't happy. You ever said to God, I don't want to die yet? That's not my time. You know, I keep coming back to the time when, you know, before you're married, God, don't let me die before I get married. I don't want to die before I get married. Yeah, people are laughing, but they've said the same thing. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth, and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hands of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. See, sometimes I believe God comes to us to test us, to see what our response will be. Hezekiah's response is, God, I'm not ready to die. It was a godly response. God knew what he wanted Hezekiah to do, and Hezekiah had the right response. But the priest Eli's response was a little bit different in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Verse 13. Here's young Samuel, and Jesus spoke to him. And he went and had to tell his master Eli what God had said. And in 13, for I've told him that I'm about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. So here's Samuel saying, I've got to go and tell my master that your house is going down. You're all going to die. What was Eli's response? In verse 18. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. I'm not going to fight it. Why would God tell Eli that? Just to let him know he's going to die? No, I believe to test him. Eli, will you change your ways? Will you repent? Will you discipline your sons? He wasn't willing to do that. He said, just let God do what God wants to do. Within a few days, they stole the Ark of the Covenant. He heard the news. He fell over backwards. He was a very big man. And he broke his neck or something like that, and he died. Let our response be the response that God wants to give to us. You know, if you know you're walking closer to God, you'll respond in a certain way. And how close we are walking to God shows by the way we respond now. What is our response when things come into our life? See, what God gives to us must be used for others. Our gifts, our abilities, our finances, our time. Because that is the fullness of God in our life. To love, to care, to help, to change other people's lives. The spirit of the world, as we know, will bring distractions and will try and make us use on ourselves what could be used for God. You ever gone to that place where you said, I knew I should have done something, but I didn't do it, now it's too late. I should have given that $50, but now it's gone, I can't afford now to give it. I should have rang that person up. I should have made that meal. I should have went to see that person. I should have told that person I was sorry. The spirit of the world will bring distractions, but when we have the spirit of Christ in our life, when we have the spirit of God, when we're full to the fullness of God, we have to respond right, because we do everything out of love for God and out of love for other people. The two commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, all your strength. The second is like it, said Jesus, to love your neighbour as you love yourself. With these two, you cannot do wrong. If you love people like I love them, if you love me with all your heart, you cannot do wrong. So it challenges us. We must be a good steward of all that God's given to us. We must benefit the kingdom of God through our life. When we live in Christ, there is no fear. Living in Him and having the fullness of Him, there's no fear in our life. I want to encourage you tonight to make a choice to allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen your spirit, to strengthen your inner man, to strengthen your heart. So we can come to that place where what is in the heart of God will be in our heart. It's not just a heart of thinking, well, what are my needs? How do I meet my needs? But it's a heart in to say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? If you're young, you say, God, what do you want me to do with your life? So to see your kingdom expanded. I want to be filled with the fullness of God. Back in Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll just read this again. We're going to read from verse 16 to 21. And that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. That you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Because it goes on to say in verse 20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within who? That works within us. The power that works within us. We use that scripture so often to say we can get more abundantly we can ask or think. But it talks about when we're filled with the fullness of God. We'll get so much more than we can ask, think, or even imagine. We think our needs are not being met. Well, when we're filled with the fullness of God, our needs have to be met. He will do far beyond what we can ask, think, or even imagine. Verse 21, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and forever. The next generation needs us to pass the baton on to them so that they can be filled with the fullness of God. But if we're not filled with the fullness of God, how can we pass that on to the next generation? We can only give to someone else what we have. I talk about to pastors and leaders. If you're the pastor of a church, the water level stops at you. People are not going to go higher than what you are. So you need to live a life that is a high calling in God. You can't expect people to pray for an hour a day when you only spend 5 minutes praying. You can't expect people to study the Word of God when you never study the Word of God. You can't expect people to give when you don't give. And for us, for the next generation, if we want to see that next generation rise, we're teaching them what we are and what we have and what we do. That's the water level to those we're ministering to. They'll go as high as you are. So I want to be filled with the fullness of God to affect other people's lives. I want us to stand as we play this song. I'm no longer a slave.